Good morning, everyone. God is good, amen? And his mercy endures forever as well, amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he is good all the time. Amen. Amen. I give greetings to everyone from Pastor Ben and Judith this morning. They've gone away with the boys for a week or so, having a bit of a break. So they're watching live with us this morning. So good morning, Pastor Ben and Judith and everyone. We love you. And so they bring their greetings this morning. Hallelujah. Something's ringing. Is it just me? Hallelujah. So I'm going to continue on with what Pastor Ben's been bringing over the last, well, he's brought the last 9 weeks. I'm about to bring part 10 of You Shall Know the Truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen? Don't sound very convincing. Amen? Amen. I'm going to talk on something this morning that you're not going to hear in many churches these days. And it's on the Ten Commandments. You see, so often when the Ten Commandments is spoken about, you know, people say, oh, but sister, we're not under the law anymore. Oh, no, we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace, sister. We're under grace, sister. But God never said, or Jesus, when Jesus came and he gave his life for us, he came and he fulfilled the law. He didn't say to ignore the law. Amen? Jesus came and fulfilled the law. He didn't say ignore the law. And so I want to take you through a bit of a journey this morning. And I've got a bit of a little illustration to give you in just a few minutes' time. But we want to talk about the truth setting you free and what the Ten Commandments is actually all about. And in Exodus 20, verses 1 to 17, it says, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is in within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey. Donkey? Nor anything that is your neighbor's. Amen? That's your Ten Commandments. Who can quote the Ten Commandments off these days? There's not many of us. Amen? I learned a song when I was teaching Sunday school in New Zealand, and it was the song about the Ten Commandments. And so I've got them up in my head, and sometimes I have to go through the whole song till I get to the right number of the one that I'm thinking about. But it works. Amen? And can I encourage you, if you want to learn scripture, sometimes the best way to learn scripture is in song. Amen? Exodus 20:20 says, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin.'" See, God wants the best for us, and he wanted the best for us. He gave us 10 commandments, not hundreds, not thousands, simply 10, to keep our hearts right. And God wrote them and gave them to us. And yet we say, "But sister, we're under grace." Well, yes, we are under grace. But you know what? It doesn't give us a license to sin. It doesn't give us a license to say, "Well, I'm going to take this commandment and I'm going to make sure I live by this commandment and forget the rest of them." You're very quiet this morning. Deuteronomy 9:9-18. You see, the moment the Israelites came out of Egypt, all they did was murmur and complain. Sounds like us sometimes. Amen? We're in the middle of summer. "Oh, it's too hot. Oh, I hate this hot weather. Oh, can we get some rain?" The minute it starts raining, "Oh, I hate this rain. Wish this rain would go away and leave us alone and come back another day." And then we get into winter. "Oh, it's so cold." It's not cold here. We live in the best place. The climate's amazing. It is cold. Are you cold now? You are, okay. At least she's wearing a jumper. Amen? Deuteronomy 9:9-18 says, and God was angry at this point of time. This is where we need to understand. God was actually angry with the Israelites. Okay? He was really, really angry with them. In fact, no one could go near Mount Sinai. No one else was allowed to go, but Moses was called to go. And God said to him, "Do not think in your heart after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, 'Because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess this land.' But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out before you." Like now. Yep. "It's not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out before you, and that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore understand that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you're a stiff-necked people. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From this day that you departed from the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. Also in Horeb, you provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was angry enough with you to have destroyed you. And when I went up into the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant, which the Lord made with you, then I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water." Now, we know this is Moses talking to the people, okay? "And the Lord delivered to me two tablets of stone written with the finger of God, and on them were all the words which the Lord had spoken to you on the mountain from the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone and the tablets of the covenant." Now, the reason I'm reading all of this is to give you an idea as to what was going on. We need to understand that when the Ten Commandments were given, they were given for a reason. They were given because the Israelites, all they ever did was murmur against God. When they were in the desert, God provided the manna for them. When they had no water, God had the water came out of the rock to give them drink. Amen? And yet the Israelites still continued to be rebellious against the things of God. "And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone," again, the tablets of the covenant. "And the Lord said to me, 'Arise, go down quickly from here, for your people who you brought out of Egypt have acted corruptly.'" Moses has been gone for 40 days and they're already acting corruptly. "They've quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them, and they've made themselves a molded image. Furthermore, the Lord spoke to me, saying, I've seen this people, and indeed they're a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of you a nation mightier and greater than they. So I turned and came down from the mountain. See, Moses didn't want the Israelites to be blotted out. So he quickly ran down the mountain. And the mountain burned with fire, and the two tablets of the covenant were in my two hands. And I looked, and behold, you had sinned against the Lord your God. Had made for yourselves a molded calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way which the Lord had commanded you. And then I took the two tablets and threw them out of my two hands and broke them before your eyes. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all of your sin which you committed in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. You see, God made the covenant with the people of Israel. And boy, did I get a revelation this morning. As I was reading and I was going over this morning, I recognized that the Ten Commandments are the Ark of the Covenant. The Ten Commandments make up the Ark of the Covenant. See, if you go on to read in Deuteronomy 10, 1 to 3, it talks about the Ark of the Covenant. When God got Moses to go back up the mountain. Amen? And I'll let you read that for yourself because it's really, really interesting. Because I've got so much to go. I'm going to ask my helpers. See, I want you to understand something. So many people hide behind the word grace these days. This was a covenant between God and his chosen people. And we need to pause and we need to selah and we need to think about this. This is a covenant between God and the Israelites. And Moses, when he was up on the mount, God wrote for him the Ten Commandments, amen, in pieces of stone. So this is Moses, and these are heavy. I didn't realize how heavy they were when I wanted to give the example. Okay, so here's Moses. He's got the Ten Commandments in his hands. Oh, don't go too far, girls. Okay? He's come running down the hill. He's come running down the mount with the Ten Commandments. This is it. This is all he had. This is all the Israelites had to do, is to live by these statutes and these laws. And he came down and he threw them down on the floor. Now, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to ask the girls if they can just come and remove them for a second. Because these are heavy. Now, can you imagine, just stay there for a second, and just stay on either side of me for a second. Can you imagine getting to heaven and seeing Moses, right, in heaven and going, oh, you know what, Moses? Thank you for what you did, but it didn't matter once Jesus came because, brother, we're under grace. We're under grace. We don't have to live by the law. We don't have to live by the Ten Commandments. Can you imagine Moses at that point in time? Can you imagine David, who watched as Uzziah died before the Ark of the Covenant because he stretched out his hand towards it? Your life didn't matter because these don't matter to us anymore. You see, God has never given us a license to sin. Jesus never gave us a license to sin. Instead, what happened was God said, Moses, come on back up here after you've fasted for 40 days and bring two tablets of stone with you and acacia wood. You can make the ark. I'm going to write the commandments out for you again. So here's Moses. Turn them around the other way because they're blank now. So here's Moses. He's found these two. He's gone back up the hill. Can you imagine? 40 days. He's fasted for 80 days and 80 nights. And he's taking these up. And it doesn't matter to us anymore. The law doesn't exist anymore. Because Jesus came, he died for us. Yes, Jesus did come and die for us and he died for our sins. But he gave us two more commandments. Hallelujah. Oh, you're very quiet. Oh, you're very quiet. No, I'm not going to drop them. I'm going to take them home and use them in the garden. Thank you, ladies. Ten Commandments, you shall have no other God before me. Don't bow down to idols, nothing in heaven, earth, or sea. Do not misuse my name. I cannot tell you how many times you're watching TV these days. You're watching, you're around non-Christian people, you're around Christian people, and all you hear is, oh, holy, using the names, the Lord's name in vain. And Christians do it as well. Hello? Remember the Sabbath day. Here's one for you. Honor your fathers and your mothers. Honor your mothers and your fathers. Young people, you're listening today? This means when you're playing on PlayStation 649, Xbox 360, whatever, your iPhones and your iPads, and your parents say to you, it's dinner time. I just want to finish this game. No, it's dinner time. Come. I'm just going to finish this game. No, it's dinner time. That's honouring your mother and your father. It's time that these things are turned off. Hello, someone? I'm serious. Our children today spend so much time on these things. Where's conversation gone? Where is it today, young people? We spend so much time on our gadgets that you're sitting there and all you're doing is playing games. I'm guilty of it myself. Jeanette will attest for it down the back. Yeah, Jeanette will come over, we'll have a bit of a chat, and then we'll both sit there playing games on our phone, just enjoying each other's company. I'm speaking to myself here. We make these things our idols these days. Hello, someone. Can you put your phone down for 15 minutes and not... I need my phone. I've got to check if someone's texted me. I've got to see if someone thinks I'm important enough to ring me this afternoon. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. I'm going to come back to that. Don't be a false witness. Don't lie, I've written here. We talk about a little white lie, a red lie, a purple lie, a rainbow lie. Let me tell you, the biggest lie of all times is that the rainbow and the colour purple belong to LGBTIQXYZ. That is the biggest lie. The rainbow belongs to God, amen? The rainbow belongs to God. It was God who set that as a covenant, that he would never flood the earth again. It has got nothing to do with your sexual orientation or anything like that. And I am tired of having that rammed down my throat. I am tired of people saying to me, for you to show equality in the workplace, you've got to wear purple on this particular day. Rubbish. Rubbish. But yet here we are. Oh, the commandments don't matter. The law doesn't matter anymore. See, we can sugarcoat it as much as we like. And I've heard it before, like in churches. Oh, how many people were at your church service this morning? Oh, I think there were about 300 people there this morning. Rubbish. You can only fit 150 people in your building. How are you getting 300 people in there? You see, we have to be careful with what we're saying. We cannot be false witnesses. That's us. I'm pointing at me here. We need to wake up. The truth will set us free. Sometimes, though, the truth hurts, and we need to hear the truth so that we can move forward. Amen? Don't covet. I hear people say all the time, but sister, the grass is greener on the other side. Well, then you go to the other side and you look over the next fence. Oh, the grass is still greener. And then you go there and, the grass is still greener. Stay on your side of the fence and water your lawn. Amen? Stop looking for what other people can give you and start looking into what God wants you to do in your life. Amen? You see... Oh, Jesus fulfilled the law at the cross. He fulfilled it. He didn't say that the law doesn't matter anymore. Grace, hear me, grace is what brings us to the cross. Grace is what brings us to salvation. Grace is what brings us to forgiveness, what Papa Joe was talking about this morning. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. And this is Jesus speaking. And they said to him, "Teacher, which is the great commandment or the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." It doesn't say ignore it. On these two, everything else is a part of. Everything else becomes because of that. See, the first commandment in Matthew is the same as in Exodus. The second commandment, if you follow this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself, if you follow this, it encompasses the other nine commandments. Jesus knew we couldn't fulfill the 10 on their own, so he took 8 of them. But if you do the 2, you fulfill the 10. Do you want me to say that again? If you take the two, he took 2, hang on, confused myself now. So Jesus knew we couldn't fulfill the 10 on their own, so he took 8 of them, but if you do the 2, you fulfill the 10. Amen? Jesus didn't say, and I'm going to keep saying it, "Now that I've fulfilled the law, you don't have to." He's never said that. Men, I'm going to challenge you today. Oh, if you are married today, I'm speaking to you. Wear a wedding band. Wear your wedding rings and be proud of it. And I'll tell you why. If you don't have one, go out and get one. And I'll tell you why. Before I met Joe, I was in another church. I was an older person getting married. I was in my late 30s when I met Joe and we got married. And I was looking for a man, as you single ladies do. You know, you've got your eye out, kind of looking for someone. And I saw this lovely, handsome man walk into the church one particular day. And I, as girls do, I just went, first thing I always did was look to their wedding finger. It's something I always did because I didn't want a bar of it, okay? No wedding ring. So I'm, he was a married man. The Word of God says in Matthew 5, 27 to 28, you have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart, and vice versa." Ladies, young ladies, stop looking for a man. Amen? God has the right one for you. Oh, you're very quiet. Look to God. The Word of God tells us that He will give you the desires of your heart. Look to Him. The minute I stopped looking, Port Moresby, July 2008. The minute I stopped looking, beautiful, young, smiling man walked across the stage towards me. You must be who they call Smiley Joe. Nothing else happened. 6 months later, and Digby, my brother here, will attest to all of it, We're in a crusade in Wabag. Now, the interesting thing is that I wasn't going to that crusade, and I had a friend come to me at the end of a church service and ask me, are you going on this crusade? I said, I don't know. I'm believing God for the finances. My friend said, well, God's been speaking to me through this entire service, and you have to go because God's got something to show you. Fast forward 2-3 weeks, I'm in the crowd in Wabag taking photographs, moved over to where Digby was sitting with Smiley Joe, and Smiley Joe asked for my address. I stopped looking. Everyone else was looking for me. I didn't need to look. I had them trying to set me up with this song leader and this prayer warrior and this person and that person. And yet God had the best for me. And he saved the best for me. And girls, he had to take me out of this country to find him. You see, we need to be focused on the things of God. Amen? We need to have our eyes. Psalm 122 tells us, lift up your eyes unto the hills, for where comes our help? Where does our help come from? Our help, it comes from the maker of heaven and earth. Amen? Everything that we need is in him. Everything that we need is in him. And there's only two things that he wants us to do, really. That's to love the Lord, your God, with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is it. It's to stop pointing the finger at people when you see a problem in their lives. Come on. How about instead of pointing the finger, we start praying for them? How about instead of going behind somebody's back and tattletaling and whispering behind their back? How about we pray for them instead? How about when we see somebody who's in need, we go and buy a bag of rice and some toilet paper and go and deliver it to their door? How about we change our focus? How about we start looking to the things of God instead of the things of ourselves? Oh, come on. Hallelujah. I'm sorry if you're getting offended this morning. You need to deal with it. And deal with it with him. Amen. It's not about me. We prayed already this morning. You know, Pastor Ben prayed with me that he would hide me in his word this morning. This isn't about me. This is something God laid on my heart weeks and weeks ago. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5. And listen. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of God, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. And that's talking about Christian people as much as it's talking about unchristian people. Hello, somebody. Hard word this morning? You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay? I think about it coming into church, and we talk about lovers of money. We can't talk about money in church. Someone might get offended. The church is only after my money. No, Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to give to God what belongs to God. See, I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you as well in that. Pastor, and I get that, you know, I've had it rammed down my throat. Oh, give and it will come back, you know. And if you don't give and you're not doing this, and blah, 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 blah. The thing is that God tells us to give of our increase. Oh, you've gone very quiet again. God tells us to give of our increase. And yet a lot of the times we can't even give 5 cents. Oh, hello, somebody. Sorry for my sorry, not sorry. God taught me and Joe that when we have money come into the household, the first thing we do is tithe. We tithe of our increase. We don't tithe on what's left over. When you tithe of what's left over, then you're tithing on, you're not going to have money. Bottom line, you ain't going to have it. If you're not putting God first, then you might as not well, you may as well not put him anywhere. Yeah. Oh, hello, someone. Yeah. When was the last time that we truly, and I mean truly, gave thanks to God? It's all well and good sometimes we give him lip service. And I know sometimes you can come and you're tired and you've had a hard week and you've had a hard morning and you've had an argument with your husband or your wife, or your children have just kept going and going and going, and you've come to church and you're not feeling like it. And sometimes you can start singing the words, and yeah, I am a friend of God. No, I'm not, but I'm going to sing it anyway. I am a friend of God. Oh, hang on, that's scripture. Yes, I am a friend of God. Trying. Mum Alice trying. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says to us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. Family, we need to guard our hearts and our minds and turn away from the things that so easily ensnare us. And that means if you're struggling with your tithing, if you're struggling with giving somebody a break, if you're struggling with your neighbor, if you're struggling with your brother or with your sister, then be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving. And worship him.
Amen.
Matthew 6, 21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where is your treasure today? But I say to you, Jesus said, I'll go to the one before that. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, I know a lot of people, a lot of unsaved people today are looking at the church and not seeing any answers. They look at the church and they all they think about and all they say is, what a bunch of hypocrites. Yes? I know we're not. I know not everybody is a hypocrite. I can be sometimes. I'll own that. I'm not perfect. Is anyone here? But the thing is that if the church truly was doing what the church was called to do, oh, what a wonderful place it would be. Amen? Matthew 5:44 says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. We know that the church is being persecuted. We know that all they want is to end the church as it is. We know that right now. And what do we do in return? We need to pray for our Prime Minister. We need to pray for the premiers of the states and territories. We need to pray for our councillors and our mayor. And yet a lot of the time, we're happy to talk about them, but we're not happy to pray for them. You see, whether we agree with their policies or not is irrelevant. God tells us that we are to pray for them. So what we need to pray is that God's will would be accomplished in their lives. Amen? We need to pray for their salvation. We need to pray that God would speak to them and that they would hear what God was saying to them. We need to bless those who persecute us. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom. What are we going to do? We're going to lift up our eyes. We're going to make sure that we do what Jesus told us to do. Love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, if you're struggling with something, all you need to do is go to him. All you need to do is go and sit at his feet. All you need to do is go back to the cross. Because if it wasn't for the cross, we'd have nothing. Amen? Hebrews 12:1-2 says, "Therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." I don't know if you remember the communion message I gave a few weeks ago, where I got down on my hands and knees on the floor, and as I looked up, I think, Pastor Alan, you were stood up here? Was that you? You played Jesus for me? Can't remember. Praise the Lord. You see, we're looking at a particular level, but God wants us to lift up our eyes. We've been playing for too long. It's like a game we've been playing for too long. It's like a game of cat and mouse. Where's Jesus? I don't know. I can't see him down here. Well, lift your eyes. Oh, there he is. Oh, he's gone again. Oh, because I'm looking down this way again. Jesus was never about a game. Oh, you're very quiet. Isaiah 54:17 says to us, "No weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." Amen. It's not about our righteousness, it's about his righteousness. Amen? When he hung upon the cross, he had every opportunity to come down off that cross. But he had you in mind, he had me in mind at that time. When he stretched his hands, and his hands were nailed to that cross, all he could think of was you and me. And yet we find it so hard to fulfill or to keep just 10 small things. In retrospect, 10 small commandments, a covenant. Keep our covenant with him, and we can't do it. You see, in all of this, I want to encourage you today, and I know it doesn't sound like a very encouraging message, but when we take a hold of what God is saying to us from his word and take all of it, not just this part or that part, not just, well, this suits me today, but this part doesn't suit me today. Or if you're asking God to show you a scripture or give you a word, take the word he is giving you. And what I mean by that is, and I've done it myself, if you're asking God, "God, give me a word today," and I'm going to just open my word to Ecclesiastes 12:8. "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "all is vanity." Oh my goodness. If you were asking God for an encouraging word today and you open to that, "That's not for me today, Lord. That's not the scripture you've got for me. Take me to another scripture. Let me find one that I really like." Oh, there we go. Psalm 86:12. "I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart." That's a better scripture for me today. You're looking so serious. But who does that? Come on, let's be honest. Who's ever done that? One or two hands going up. Come on. Thank you. Okay. Don't turn the page that you feel that God has taken you, because sometimes he needs to rebuke us. Amen? And we spend so much time going, oh, that doesn't suit me today. Let me find something that does suit me today. I don't want that one either. Judgment on Jerusalem. No, thank you, Lord. That's not your scripture for me today. Let's open up to somewhere else. That's not what the Bible's all about. When you ask God to speak to you, he will if you're truly listening to him. And whether that means it's a word of encouragement or whether that means it's a word of rebuke, doesn't matter which one it is. If you're truly seeking God's face and you're truly asking him to teach you and he takes you to a word of rebuke, then we need to take it. Amen? Amen? The word of God isn't just some flimsy piece of paper or book that we can choose what we want to believe and then what is meant for someone else. Oh, that's not for me today. Pastor Ben's been talking about it. This word, the truth, will set you free. And how many people, I'm not going to ask, but how many times do you think, oh, I wish so-and-so had been in this meeting today and heard this word? Because this word's really for them. It's not about me. But, I just wish Joe was here today because this word's for him. I'll listen, but it's for him really. No, it's about you. If you take anything out of anything, then it's meant for you. It's meant for your heart. And it's whether or not you're going to allow yourself to be pliable before the Lord, whether or not you're going to allow God to come into your life and rebuke you where you need a rebuke, or whether or not you're going to take that encouragement. Because normally if it's an encouraging word, normally if it's something really encouraging, you will take it. Yeah, hallelujah, brother, that's for me. Hallelujah, sis, oh, great word today. I really, really receive that encouragement. And the rebuke comes and it's like, oh, praise God, hallelujah, yeah, so-and-so needed to hear that today. It's got nothing to do with me. Come on, someone. Oh, hallelujah. You see, if you're offended by what's been said, then take it up with God. Because I'm here to tell you today that when we know the truth will set us free. Amen. And I want to encourage you today, if you are struggling in an area, come and talk to someone about it. I've said this to the music team as well before, you know. If you're going through a really hard time, then let somebody know you're going through a hard time. Don't keep it to yourself. Because if we can pray with you, if we can pray together, that's the important thing. Amen? Yes? Amen? So I want to encourage you that we don't hide behind the word grace. We take God for his full measure, not just for part of the measure that sometimes we think that he's only due. And to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Because upon that, those Ten Commandments hang on it. The law and all the prophets hang off it. Amen? Amen. I think I'm done. It's, you know, when you talk about things that where God is trying to, you know, Pastor Ben's word over the last number of weeks has been very, very strong. Knowing the truth and allowing the truth to set you free is important. But that means we take all of it. We don't just take parts of it. We take all of the word of God and all of the scriptures, you know. And God's really been placing it on my heart to particularly for this city of Cairns, and he's spoken to me specifically about prayer and about making sure that we're lifting up this city in prayer. Because, you know, if there's no unity in the churches, you see, we're called to be the body of Christ. We're not called to be we're called to be the body of Christ. Okay, we're all members together. The church isn't this building. The church isn't Royals building. The church isn't COC building, C3 building. We are the church, not this building. And if we can't be in unity together, then how are the people who are unsaved going to come to know the Lord? How are they going to know who the true living God is if we can't get it together ourselves? Amen? See, there is so much going on in this city right now. You know, the horrible event that happened on, was it Wednesday morning at Cairns Central? I mean, that's devastating. You hear about that everywhere else. I've never heard of that in Cairns. See, we need to come together and we need to pray. We need to pray for one another. Like the Word of God tells us, to bless those that persecute us, pray for those who spitefully use us. Amen? And that's what we're called to do as a church. And I want to encourage you, come to prayer. Come to prayer and be a part of it. Amen? Amen.